Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 13. This is just sort of a continuation of what we started up in Hebrews 13 about the areas of biblical authority. And this chapter here in Romans 13 deals with a Christian's responsibility under human government. Now, last week I laid out what I felt was a biblical case for when and when not to obey an earthly authority. And the Bible does make it plain and it makes it clear. Just because someone in authority is not living according to God's rules, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have a right to rebel against everything that they hand down to us. But clearly in the case where an earthly authority over us is compelling us to do something that is in violation of God's law, then we have not only a right to resist, we have a responsibility to resist. The case of Daniel praying, they specifically went after him over this prayer deal. They basically outlawed Christianity. They outlawed praying to the one God. That's what they did. Now, I'm gonna just kind of throw this out because we already started talking about this, and this is fresh in my mind. I watched this Chevrolet commercial. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can just Google it. There's a new Chevrolet commercial they're playing throughout the Olympics that talks about like a new way and a new change. And they were talking about love and couples. And they show a man and a woman first, and then they show two men at what is obviously a gay wedding, holding hands, and there's someone there that, you know, has probably joined them together in a marriage. That is supposed to be the new way now that we're all supposed to think. And I'm going to tell you, I can see it coming. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination. In fact, I'm going to open up to you here in just a little bit. But I absolutely see that there's going to come a time when there are some very evil people, just like in Daniel's day, who specifically designed a law that specifically was targeted toward one individual to outlaw what he was already doing. They noted that Daniel prayed. They noted that he wasn't hiding it. So they made a law that was specific to him to make sure that what he was already doing was outlawed and that that law not be changed. So they specifically targeted Daniel and praying to the one true God, and they made it a crime to do that. I believe that there are very evil people today who have an agenda, and that agenda is to outlaw, number one, the words that are in this book. Amen. It's already being done in churches everywhere. Amen? A lady wrote me this afternoon. She said she went to, she had worked at a Mennonite Brethren Church or something like that. And she saw some problems going on there. And she had confided in the associate pastor who seemed to take her side. Then she started looking at the issue, the Bible translation. She became convinced that this Bible was right. And she tried to get this associate pastor to watch a video or two. And she went back to him and said, "Well, what'd you think about that?" He said, "Don't you ever send me anything like that again." She wrote up a resignation letter, put it with some stuff, that some responsibility she had with the church, and she said, "I'm done." She said, "This is the Word of God, and I'm resisting that. I'm not going to be part of it." But I'm telling you that they are going to outlaw this book. They're going to outlaw the things that are in this book, and they're going to target a very specific group of people, namely those who are going to follow after this book. And so I can see it coming that this is not just being put out by the government. Chevrolet, they're not the government. They're not writing laws that are forcing us down our throat. They, in collaboration with the entire Sodomite network, is working together to make sure that a majority of Americans are going to endorse wickedness and turn against those who stand against it. Do you see that? I see it coming. So that when the government is ready to outlaw speech against sodomy, they will have the backing of the majority of American people. Two things are going on right now. And if you just ask yourself, what has happened in the last, let's say, the last 10, 11 years? What's happened since September 11th, 2001? In the last decade, we have seen a major transformation in America on two issues. Number one, that of legalizing drugs and legalizing sodomite marriage. Back in the 90s and in the 80s and the 70s, yes, there was a lot of people smoking pot, but you don't have a push to legalize it. Now you do. In the last 10 years, boom, boom, boom. Two states have legalized recreational marijuana. There's like 14, 15 states that have legalized medical marijuana, and we all know what it takes to get a card to smoke pot. My back hurts. Oh, I feel better. It's a joke is what it is. And so now, do you think that within the next 10 years, they'll legalize that in the state of Missouri? They already legalized it in Illinois. That's right next to Illinois. It's over there. They've already legalized it over in Illinois for medicinal uses. Next 10 years. California, medicinal uses, 2010, they wanted to legalize it for recreational uses. It went down. They're going to bring it up again, and they're probably going to vote it through. Why? Because minds have been changed in the last 5 years. Same way with sodomite marriage. The minds are being changed rapidly. And so we're going to get a majority of the country to go along with a law that says you cannot speak out against sodomites. That will be considered hate speech, and we will throw you in jail. First thing we're going to do is we're going to tie up your church's finances. It's the first thing they're going to do. Then they're going to outlaw it. Then they're going to make those who speak out a criminal. That's coming. Should we resist? Absolutely. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in. There are some things that if we lose in this world, you know, hey, we just lost. There's some things I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to let go easily. That's what I think of that. But now Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And I want you to look at verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. I want you to think about what he's saying here. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth will. I want to just kind of go around the room and ask you your opinion of what you think America is going to be like, let's say, in the next 10 to 20 years. Does anybody have a guess? Go ahead. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. Police state. Police state. Yeah. A police state. Which means what? Okay. Mixture of fascism. Fascism is the conglomeration of major businesses and government. That's already in the works. That's already in the works. Congress passes the laws that the corporations lobby for. Amen? Monsanto doesn't want people to know that they're eating genetically modified organisms. So a ballot measure comes up and says, we have a right to know and we want it printed on the label if this has been modified genetically. Monsanto lobbied and the law never passed. So now our government's telling us you don't have a right to know whether or not it's modified or not, because that's going to hurt Monsanto's business. Who cares? Amen. Who cares? Amen. Okay? But that's what fascism is. So it's already in the works. And then you said, what else? Socialism is... Socialism is the child. Communism is when the child grows up. Okay? Yeah, it's they're almost identical. Okay? Yes, Gary. Okay. You're saying a divided union?
Yeah.
Now think about what our Savior warned us about. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. And we are. We are being divided right now. Somebody else. Yes, Jimmy. Yeah. Yeah, that's, and it'll probably come through labeling what I say and what this church says is hate speech. They'll cut our internet. They'll lock up our finances through the IRS. And then they'll basically, because of that, since we'll be able to pay the light bill and everything else, they just shut the doors on the place. Okay? Yes, Brady.
Collapse of the U.S. dollar.
Collapse of the U.S. dollar. See it coming?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay? Anybody else? But we're not painting a rosy picture, are we? Is the Lord coming back? Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Famines, droughts.
You see it coming? Yes. So what you're saying is that if America has a disastrous collapse, you're saying that the UN would come in to make sure everything is peace and safe. Okay. That would be a foreign power over American rights. Is that how you see it? Okay. Amen. Who in here agrees with just about everything we've said so far? You can see it. You see it coming. Okay. Again, not a rosy picture. Not a very nice, pretty picture of our future. It's a good thing we trust in the Lord. Amen? Okay? Now, here's something that I want to show you from the Word of God tonight. Okay? I believe that all of this is going to come to pass, or something like all of this. I believe it's in the works. Okay? I can see it biblically throughout the Scriptures. You have to ask the question, why? Why is God going to allow this nation to fall? Why is God going to allow this nation to crumble? Brady?
Righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people.
That's the Word of God. That would be it in a nutshell. Okay? So let's ask a question. And let me just throw this in. When our forefathers came to this land, they did so with the Word of God, and they said, when we build cities and governments in this land, they're going to be built upon the Word of God. And they were seeing Israel going into their land, and they were seeing themselves as sort of as a mirror to that when they came here. And they said, we're going to build it on the Word of God. So ask yourself the question, did God allow a foreign power to rule over His people? Numerous times. Look up here on the screen, 2 Kings 24. You can turn your Bibles there, 2 Kings 24, verse 1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Now, Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar came up, Jehoiakim the king became the servant to Nebuchadnezzar 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. He said, wait a minute, I'm the king of Judah. So Jehoiakim finally said, I'm going to stand up for my constitutional rights. What happened? The Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon. Four of them, by the way. You can see a picture of the fourth kingdom of Daniel right in here. Okay? And sent them against Judah to destroy it. So watch this. Jehoiakim, here's a foreign power taking control. Jehoiakim rebels against the foreign power. He says, we have the right. This is our land. So he rebels against him. And then what happens?
God sent four bands of armies against God sent armies against Jehoiakim and Judah. Why did God do that? This goes back to Manasseh, who defiled the house of God by putting an image in the most holy place in the temple. And God said, I'm done. I'm done. That crossed the line. And God said, I am not only going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to come in, I'm going to empower him and bring him on them, and they will not be able to stand against the Babylonians. And so what happened? Let's see here. Sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment, this is verse 3, at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. Think of how many millions of babies have been killed by abortion doctors in this country. Do you think God is going to let that go? The innocent blood that he shed. And also, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. We need to get our heads right. And I'm for our rights and our constitution and our guns and our Bible. And I've made this plain. When they come after our guns, once they've got the guns, they know that we have no power to resist whatever else they want to come and take. The gun issue is the issue, as far as what I can see. Because if they, it's like in spirituality. To me, the Bible issue is the issue in the church. I don't care what church it is. If that church is armed, that means they're dangerous to the devil. But if that church has handed in their weapons, they have no power to resist the enemies coming in. And I've had people write me, that same lady that I was talking about earlier, where she handed in her resignation to your church, she said the pastor's wife was doing all kinds of crazy stuff in that church. Stuff that she had learned out in Bethel Church at Redding, California. I call it the anti-Bethel Church. It's the other Bethel. Okay? They do stuff that's crazy out there. And she was bringing that into that church. And that woman finally said, I'm not going to be a part of that. Here's the word of God that says don't do that. And when I'm not doing it, I'm not going to be a part of it. Amen? But see, they disarmed the churches. So now the devil's come right in with their false doctrines. So they're going to disarm the nation. Once they know they've got the guns, and they may not come after the guns. They just may let you shoot out all the bullets you got. Because what are we seeing now, Sterling? They closed down the last remaining lead smelting plant in the United States, which was right up here at Herculaneum. Where are we going to get lead from? To make bullets. Where are we going to get it from? China? Okay? So think about it. One way or the other, our ability to defend ourselves and protect our rights, those are being taken away. And you have to ask the question, is God letting this happen? There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind whatsoever that even though there might be a rebellion, I don't see God letting this country stand against the judgment that he is sending our way. Can I get you to say amen to that? Judges chapter 2, verse 11. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Balaam's a type of the Antichrist. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Didn't our forefathers have the God of this Bible as the God of this country? Did not we used to pray in Jesus' name, even in our schoolhouses?
Amen.
Did we not used to read the King James Bible to our children in schools, in public schools? Did we not do that? That was what our forefathers did. When our forefathers came across this land, they had some bacon, and they had some iron goods, and they had a Bible. And that's how they made it. And they came and they settled this land, and they all had a Bible. And they were teaching their kids how to read by reading a Bible. Amen. That's what they did. Okay? But what has happened? Our nation has forsaken the Lord God of our fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know what Egypt was to our forefathers? It was the Church of Rome, the Church of England. That's what Egypt was. The churches were in bondage to the tyranny of the religious institutions of the day, who would not let them believe what was in the Bible. They wanted them to believe whatever the Pope said or whatever the Archbishop of Canterbury said, but they would not let them believe what they were seeing out of the Bible. So they brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them. I've been doing some study in the last week or two, and I can tell you that a lot of the, I want to say, Native American religions have come back in the form of the New Age movement. And most people in this country believe that that's the real way to go now. Those were the inhabitants of this land before the Christian forefathers came in here, and now the nation is turning back to those gods, whether they're called the whatever gods of the Indians or wherever they else they are in the world. It's the same gods, the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. You see, you can only spit in God's face so many times. God, who is a loving God, who is a long-suffering God, who is a merciful God, who will wait and wait and wait for people to get better, wait for people to repent. But when they don't, God finally has a line and says, this is it right here, and we're not going any farther than this. I don't know how close we are to the line, but we're getting there. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. So what happened? Look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. Let's stop right here. You know what that is? What are spoilers? When you put stuff in your refrigerator, and you forget about it, and 4 weeks later you go back, what do you find in there, Linda Carmichael? You find all kinds of little dastardly devils sitting on top of it. And they're all black, ain't they? Mold and corruption and stink and stuff that Linda hands to Jimmy and says, taste this, see if it's any good. Lisa does the same thing to me. She'll go, oh, here, smell this. No, I believe you. The spoilers came in and spoiled our substance. Now it's no use anymore, right? You just wait until the dollar bill becomes worthless. Oh, we'll have a bunch of them. They'll be absolutely worthless. By the way, what did James say was going to happen to all the gold? Cankered. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think it's going to come time when humanity will not be able to bail himself out of his own problems. I think it's going to come time where we're going to have to rely upon the Lord, or we're not going to live. Amen? And so what happened was, God delivered them to the hands of the spoilers. Good night, guys. We love you. God delivered them into the hands of the spoilers. So look at the. Somebody mentioned the fall of the dollar. Well, look at our country right now. Who owns America right now? China does. China owns most of our debt. Other countries, other institutions, private institutions around the world own the debt of America. And we think, we've been told by our blessed government, omnipotent government, that we need to borrow more money and spend more money to make America better. That never works for us, does it? That's right. We keep getting more credit cards to keep ourselves above water. And at some point, the credit cards just won't do it anymore. Amen? Amen. It won't work. And so there is, the spoilers are coming in right now. And so let's say China's going to call the debt. Well, we can't repay it because we don't have money. But what do we have? Land. We have buildings. We have factories. We have minerals in the ground. We have oil. We have lots of stuff that they'd like to take. And when we don't have any money to pay off the debt, they'll just come in and take what they want, and there won't be a thing that we can do about it because we gave it to them. So that you look at this Bible. This Bible is a guidebook and a roadmap for the destruction of this country. So number one, he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them and sold them into the hands of their enemies round about. So that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. We pride ourselves on being like the Americans, and we have the best army in the world, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to turn against this nation, and even our enemies are going to prevail over us, and we will be able to stand against them. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. You have to ask yourself the question. So when these people turned their back on God, you just read through the book of Judges. Just give you some homework to do. Just read Judges. Over and over and over again, when Israel turned their back on God, God delivered cruel authority to reign over them. First it was the Moabites. Then it was the Philistines. Then it was the Ammonites. And then they, God, we're sorry. God said, okay. And he'd bring them out. He'd send them a savior. He'd send them Gideon. He'd send them Barak. He'd send them Samson. He'd send them Deborah, the judges. And they would rise up and be the saviors of the people. And the people would do well and they would prosper, just like God said. But then in their prosperity, they got lazy on God. And then they started turning to other gods. And then they started looking other ways and defiling God's house. And then finally, God turned them back over to cruel authority. So you look in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 3. And this is, Isaiah 19 is a very interesting chapter. Because the way I read this, it looks to me like in the last days, God's going to save Egypt. If you read Isaiah 19, you see that. But anyway, here's how it starts. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof. And I will destroy the counsel thereof. You know what? I'm going to stop right here. I just had a thought. He mentioned the spirit of Egypt. Here you go, Jimmy. On the back of this currency is a what? It's a pyramid. Where are pyramids from, John? Egypt. In fact, that's the Great Pyramid in Egypt. This is the spirit of Egypt in this country. Isn't that cool? So, and I like this one too. God said, trust not in uncertain riches, for they grow wings as eagles and they fly away. How many of us know that? Amen? What? I used to have $20. What happened to it? Burp. Okay. Amen. That's how it works with me, anyway. Amen, Matthew? Yeah, okay, amen. You know, the spirit of Egypt's going to fail. God's going to cause it to fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to wizards. 1, 2, 3, 4. Idols, charmers, familiar spirits, and to the wizards. What they should have gone after was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They should have turned to the cross. They should have turned to the gospel. America used to preach the gospel. But now we've turned to the idols and to the charmers. You know the word charm, and does anybody know what a cantata is? Cantata is a choral piece that's sung. The word charm is related to music. Who are the charmers in this day? Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. Who? Jay-Z? Bouncy? Is that who she is? Bouncy? Oh, Beyonce. Okay. I'm just playing dumb. Okay? The people who go around doing this all the time. You seen that? Those are the charmers of this day. So we turn to the charmers. So we go watch the Grammy Awards and Katy Perry, who does what is obvious to everybody who's watching, a witchcraft ceremony on the stage, complete with fire and and beasts and everything else. The whole thing is there. And America goes, woo! And we pride ourselves on our illicitness. Who is that? Miley Cyrus, walking around half naked, doing the things that she's doing. Her dad's no better than she is. And these are the people that we turn to in this country. We're turning to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits. Those are people that are just full of devils. Preachers all over this country are turning to familiar spirits through contemplative prayer and through other things that are not in this Bible. And to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord. God says, I'm going to hand them over to a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And if God says it, all of our rifle power will not be able to resist against it. Now again, I believe in gun rights. I believe we're going to stand for our Constitution, which gives us freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And I'm telling you, I am not. Live free or die. Live free or die. But if the Lord tarries his coming, that's exactly how it's probably going to turn out. Live free or die. Because God is going to turn this nation over to cruel authority. And you can see that over and over and over in the scriptures, where you will not regard biblical authority. God turns the people over to cruel authority. That applies in a church. When the churches, I was trying to think of this, somebody help me. It's in the book of Deuteronomy where God told, if you're going to have a king over your nation, make sure he's one of your people, and then he's to take the book. Somebody kind of help me think about where that is. Deuteronomy 17. Okay. And let's go ahead and turn there. Let's find it. But you see, God had a rule. He said, when you get into that land, I know for a fact that you're going to ask for a king. If you ask for a king, here's the rules. Okay. Somebody find that real quick, and I'm just going to talk. But he basically, verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren. Number one, he is to be one of them. Is there a dispute over where our president came from? Amen. I still ain't got it figured out in my mind where he's from. They won't turn his records over. There's something ain't right about that. But I'm going to tell you something. Not only that, but I think we're going to see something worse down the road. We are going to legitimately see a foreign power ruling over this nation. The road is already paved for it. Okay? So number one, he's to be the of thy brethren. Shalt thou set the king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. That was not to be allowed. You're not to have a stranger ruling over your country. But you know what God did? God brought in the strangers of Babylon and the Moabites. He brought them in and said, rule over my people. They won't listen to me. God put them under cruel authority. Verse 18. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. And I'm going to say to you that in this church, this Bible, not me, is the final authority. This Bible and not me. If I violate this Bible without repentance, then I'm to be put out, and you're to put somebody in my place that will regard this Bible. And I want to tell you, church, don't you ever forget it. Because we have seen, and people who are watching will call and tell you, their testimony is they had a pastor that stuck with that old book and they loved it. But then something happened to him. He went off the scene and they got a new guy in and he brought the change in. And that church didn't stand up to that man and put him back out.
They went along with it, and God turns them over to cruel authority. God sends them false doctrine inside that church, and that false doctrine turns mean on them in a hurry. Devils can only look nice for so long. Amen? Amen. Then it corrupts, and then it all turns bad. That's what's going on in the churches. You can apply that even in marriage. Young people, you listen to me. You listen to your mom and dad. You obey their instruction. You yield to their wisdom. You yield to their counsel. You yield to their guidance. Because if you don't, and you will not regard the authority of your mama or your daddy or both of them, if you will not regard that authority, then, and you say, you know what? Tired of living under these rules. Tired of it. Go out. God will take you and He will put somebody over you that is so cruel and mean to you, you'll wish to God you were back home. Just like the prodigal son sitting there looking at the slop saying, I wish I could go back to dad. I'd be one of his slaves. One of my dad's slaves has it better than I've got right now. God will put you under cruel authority. It's happening in this nation. Since we have turned our back on this Bible, God is in the process of turning this nation over to cruel authority. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you. I don't know all the outcomes. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is going to be, you know, the Lord's coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I want us to think about this for a minute. What if the Lord's not going to come back for another 100, 200 years? I don't know. What if He's not? What if God wants to take this nation through a big old whooping? What if God wants to do that? Because every time God did it in the book of Judges, they all said, God, deliver us, please. Get us out of here. And they got their mind back right with God, and God blessed them. God forgave them, and God put peace in the land and brought prosperity to it. Maybe God's going to do something like that. I don't know. I know that I'm not going to resist God in what I clearly see Him doing in these days. Okay? So here's what we do as a body of believers. We see these things coming down the road, and I'm going to stop right here. Let's read these two verses so it makes sense. Wherefore, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And what Romans is saying here is that God puts authority in a place based upon His will for those people. I can clearly see that we're getting the government that we deserve as a nation. Maybe not us as individuals, but as a nation, on the whole, we deserve it. We deserve it. If God doesn't judge America, He's got to bow before Sodom and Gomorrah and say, you know what, I was a little hasty that day. I shouldn't have done that. I don't see God doing that. So I have a lot of questions still in my mind. And so do a lot of other people. And people have asked me, you know, Pastor, you know, what if they come to our doors and say, hand over your guns? I don't know that it's going to be that way. I don't know that it's going to be that way. But here's what I know. Here's what I with absolutely know beyond any shadow of a doubt. When Jesus was trying to teach His disciples about things that were coming down the road, and there are things that Jesus said that happened in their day. Because Jesus told His disciples, hey, they're going to come to you. They're going to drag you before the synagogues. Think not what you're going to say beforehand, because I'm going to give you words to speak. Go study Paul in the book of Acts. That exact thing happened to him. He stood before rulers and leaders in the synagogues. And He stood before them, and the Holy Ghost gave Him words that they couldn't gainsay nor resist. And they hated His guts because they couldn't argue with Him. He was so wise. Paul didn't sit and worry about and think about what he was going to say. He just said, well, okay, God's going to take me over here today. God's going to have me sit in prison for a while. God's going to have me go over here tomorrow. God's going to have me do this for a while. And then when they laid Paul down on that block and they chopped his head off, he said, even so, Lord Jesus, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. Listen, stand for freedom. Amen. Stand for freedom. But I believe that the times that are coming, maybe, I won't say maybe, I absolutely believe God is training His people for those days right now. I believe He is. I believe He's training His people. Get ready. Teaching us. Remember going through boot camp, Joe? Remember going through boot camp? Okay. 13 weeks of, amen?
Okay? That hardened you. Took a soft little boy and turned him to a man overnight because he was going to have to do some rough things. God's training us right now. He's training us and conditioning us to do one thing. Stand. Okay? To stand fast and don't move. Who knows what's going to come down the road? I believe it's going to be according to this book. But I believe at the right time, God's going to take His people and use them in a way unforeseen or unseen as yet in this world. I believe that the days ahead of the church are far more glorious than the days that are behind us.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? And so, you know what? As Peter said, arm yourselves likewise. Have this in mind, that there may be persecution down the road. There may be a price to pay. There may be things that go on in this world where we have to just say, you know what? I'm taking a stand. I'm not going to do that. God will honor that. Okay? You people here, when I see these emails come in from these people who say, Pastor, we stood for this Bible and we were put out and we lost everything. That gets me, because we've got it easy right now. But God's training people. Take a stand, take a stand, take a stand. One of these days, He's going to do something good and glorious. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
So this stuff's coming, stand to your feet. This stuff's coming down the road. It's going to happen. And God's going to, I believe God's going to enable us to stand. So you're standing tonight, amen? Let's tell God to help us stand.